Oh, such a good words today, and man, it's just, I tell you what, if you don't enjoy anything else, just thank God that you get to be a part of and around or whatever God's doing, because it's like opportunity after opportunity after opportunity and opportunity to see God doing stuff around, and it's like, you can you just experience it everywhere, and it's neat to see and God doing these things and connecting people, because it's all about people, right? Connecting people and joining people and seeing them, sharpen each other's iron and encourage one another and believe and declare and defeat enemies. And who art thou, old mountain that stands before Zerubbabel? And that a verse, And so, in some ways, when as we gain in the confidence of the Holy Spirit inside of us, we need to realize that God's forming a force inside of you, inside of us collectively, not just individually, but collectively, but definitely individually too. And so that we have a resolve and we have a sound. Love that word this morning. We have a sound to make. I think the sound's already starting to sound. I think it's just getting louder and louder and louder and louder and louder and louder until it will not be not heard ever again. But God's doing a lot of great things. Anybody, sometimes I just, anybody get healed during worship today? Val, during one of her songs, she said, come in and do it like we've never seen it done before. So what are you anticipating? What am I anticipating? If we're gonna ask him to do it like he's never done before, then let's just throw the doors open, throw the possibility open, and say, God, you can do it however you want to do it. If you tell me to do this, or you tell me to do that, or you just throw me down on the ground, Pastor Tim, and just let me lay there for a while. Tam was hurting a lot this morning, and so in her back and stuff, probably still not feeling too great. But one of the things that we did this morning, obviously after praying for her, is we started praying, that list in your bulletin. We started declaring the word. We started declaring faith and over the people on that list. And because I believe that, and we've seen where if you need a healing, one of the best things you can do is pray for somebody that needs a healing. Because the power that needs to flow through you for them to be healed is the same power that you need to heal you at the same time. It also puts you in a position of authority where you're not succumbing to the thing that's trying to afflict your body. Puts you in that place where you're beating up on it instead of it's beating up on you. Amen. Last weekend we were at, I know Pastor shared some things a little bit with you. Last weekend we were at a men's encounter weekend. And it's just yesterday morning here with the men at the church. It's neat to see what God's doing. It's always good to go to those encounter weekends. And I'll tell you, it's the same thing every weekend. See, we've gotten too used to in our culture that we need something new and we need something flashy, we need something entertaining. We need something that arousal, dazzle, inspires, because the last thing that inspired us, it's already gotten old. But if you can see what the Spirit of the Lord's doing, see what the Spirit of the Lord is changing lives. I love sitting, watching these men come out of that weekend knowing that they're going back home to their families, better husbands, better fathers, better leaders in their own home, and that they're, that God is transforming. He's taken a lot of that weight and a lot of that baggage, and he's taken that off them, and they've left it at the cross. They've nailed it to the cross, and he's freed them from a lot of stuff, and they're going back home sometimes linked together with other men. Other men. You women are good at this, okay? I get it. You women, you like socialites. Men like, hey. Enough said. Enough said. We can drive for in the car for hours and don't have to say a word. Not every man. Now, I understand. There's some of you men got the gift of gab. I get it. All depends on the topic. So, but seeing, you know, here's something that I've said recently, and I'll just share this real quick, and that is that, you know, the voice of women was needed for a lot of years and suppressed and still is. Be careful how I say that. And the value of women. And I never have understood why some of the women's movements or groups in this country are so anti-Christianity, because to me, Christ has brought value back to womanhood once again. He's established her back in her place and her position and given her value. And the Word of God does that, but a lot of the women's groups out there, the liberal secular ones are anti-Christ for sure. But you know, as it being important to bring the value of women and their voice and their giftings and all that they have to bring, our culture has done it at the expense of men. Couldn't just say, your voice matters, you're valuable, you have gifts to offer, we value you, we want you at the table. We couldn't just say that. We had to rub it in men's face, demean and devalue men, neuter them from their leadership. That's our culture. So ladies, get ready. God's bringing it back. Men are going to love you, protect you, provide for you, and they're going to help lead you. But they have a voice too. And ladies, if they don't do everything that you say, it's not because they don't hear your voice, it's because they don't agree with you. And the reason they don't agree with you is because they have a voice of their own. And somewhere in that disagreement, you all can work together for agreement and find the voice of God in the midst of all that, because it's important that men have their voice back today. But we had 1,150 dudes there, a lot of redneck, a lot of Amish people coming out of their cult, and it's a big step, because a lot of them, when they make that choice, they're done. They're out of the Amish community. But they have some of the greatest testimonies. So, but a lot of men, a lot of rednecks, a lot of mixed up, messed up people that God's just, you know, it's just amazing. And we one day we were praying for healing, and this guy was over here, and his hearing aid started messing up. So he took it out, found out he could hear just fine without it. So God healed him. They did, I think, 38 baptisms on Sunday evening and stuff. So that's of those that stayed to baptize. A bunch of them get saved. A lot of people that are the devil's just raked over the coals that are ready to end it. I mean, there's people there, and you know what you don't realize is there's people here at times that they're done. If God doesn't do something in their life, you know, they're done. And we just see God just pull those people and love on them and get them out of that darkness, because God's a good God. Amen. So we don't need anything new and flashy. We just need the same old, if you want to call it that. I don't care what you call it. He's still the Lamb who was worthy. He's still the King of Kings. He's still the Lord of Lords. He's still the Savior, the Redeemer. He's still everything that we need. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. So if you want to turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll try to hit some highlights. Be mindful of your time. But I've got a, I sent a text to Pastor a few weeks ago when one of the weekends we weren't going to be here, and I mentioned a verse, and we're going to get to this verse, but I've always read this verse in a different way, or thought about it in a different way, and so I had to kind of, when I went back and read it and read around it and context and everything, I thought, well, I need to think about that a little bit more, and so there's, try not to get too much in the weeds on any of this, but we're going to read a bit of passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. The same old, if that's what you want to call it. But it's not. He's new every day. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest, catch this, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. You have to go back to chapter 1, of 1 Corinthians, where he talks about that the in verse 18 says, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the power to that transforms our situation, our life. And so he's basically saying there's not another message other than the cross, Jesus Christ and him crucified. So when you're looking for victory over something, we go back to the cross. When we're looking for deliverance or healing or victory, we go back to the cross, right? The cross. And I heard we live in the modern internet age where you only read or hear things in blips. And some of you guys will go home with a different blip than the next person has today, but you'll go home with a blip. But I heard someone talking about one time about the back in Numbers where the children of Israel had spoken against God and spoken against Moses, and all of a sudden here comes God sent this serpent, right, biting them, and many of them that were bitten died, it says, and they went to Moses and begged him, said, you know, hey, we've sinned, we've spoken evil against God and you. Can you see that conversation happening? We've spoken, maybe they're just desperate. I mean, you know, sometimes when things are going bad, you start getting real. And so they had spoken against God and you, and they asked him to intercede for them. And so Moses did, and God told him to take and make a bronze serpent, a fiery serpent, and put it upon a pole, so that whoever would be bitten by a snake and would look at that bronze serpent, that they would be healed, they would live. And so the comparison that I'd heard was that what happens is that when we look at what in Deuteronomy it says, cursed is every man or everything that hangs on a tree. And so a lot of these things kind of, as you start tying them together in this line of thought, what you see is that which was killing you is hanging on a tree, and God has cursed that which has cursed you. Okay? So God has cursed that which has cursed you. And so Jesus became sin for us, right? He became sin for us. And I was thinking about this because we say by his stripes that we're healed, but you realize that the beaten, striped, tortured body of Jesus Christ hung on the tree. So everything that represented sin and demonic and sickness and disease and infirmity all hung on the cross with Jesus Christ, which Galatians tells us that he became a curse for us so that we could become the righteousness of God. so that we could be set free from that. And here's something that's important. If we forget that what he has hung on the tree, what he has cursed on the tree, if we forget that he's cursed that which curses us may come back down and curse us some more. Because not everybody who was bitten by a snake would necessarily look at that bronze snake on that pole. If they didn't, the snakes kept coming and they kept cursing. But God has cursed that which has come against us and has set us free. So when you look at every victory that you're looking for, every conquering moment, it's all provided through the cross and through Jesus Christ. It's all there. So where else are you going to go? Where else are you going to, what else are you going to depend on? And here, Paul is talking to the Corinthian church and bringing it back to this because he had heard of quarrels and arguments that were going on among them. But, you know, it's almost like he's not daunted. The first chapter of chapter one, he's talking about how amazing they are and their faith and their confidence in God, and God's going to take them all the way through, and God's going to do all these great things in their life, even though he's got to deal with some pretty difficult things. Why? Because he brings them back to the cross. Takes them right back to the cross and Jesus Christ. So the word of the cross, the power of God, Colossians 2:13 tells us this. It says, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, when he had disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public display of them, having triumphed over them in through him. Oh, the cross. Same old, same old. Is it? It's not. It's the power of God unto salvation. It is the victory of Jesus Christ. It's the cross. He has defeated our foes and those that were against us. So where's that put us? That puts us in a place of victory. That puts us in a place of authority. It puts us in a place of dominion. It puts us in a place of freedom, of no obstacles, of no hindrances in our walk with God, that we hear from him, that we hear from the Spirit of the Lord, that we are able to walk with him, come to him boldly and walk with him boldly with confidence. Revelations 1:18, Jesus says that he holds the keys of life and death, or of Hades. So he holds it all. It's all in him. There is no other place that we can go but Jesus Christ and him crucified. He made him, 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 2:24, he said he himself... I've never put this together before. He said, he himself bore our sins so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. So he puts it all together on the cross. What am I saying? I'm saying that don't overcomplicate this thing. Don't over-sophisticate it. Don't overthink it. Freedom is freedom in Christ Jesus, right? When we get into, making it complicated, and we make it about doing certain things or doing certain things a certain way, I think sometimes it becomes religion and it becomes too difficult for people, where people just can't find the freedom that God's offering freely. You understand? Freely. And I see that at times in my own life where I've complicated things and made them difficult. So in back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll get to the verse that we were talking about. Because the things that God's doing and going to continue to do, the doors that are going to open, imagination being blown wide open. You know, we have to be anchored in the cross and in Jesus Christ, because everything that he does, it will be a reflection of who Christ is. Okay? Jesus Christ, the cross and Jesus Christ crucified, everything filters through him. And so when you see something, and you'll see examples of that in scripture, there's times when you may say something, think something, believe something, but it doesn't line up with who he is. You got to back up and you got to say, wait a minute, Lord, Holy Spirit, teach me the way you think about this, because obviously my thoughts are not your thoughts and I'm not thinking the same way you are. And there's going to be times like that. Let me give you a real good one. How many times then you're running along and you fail? Right? And what's the first thoughts that you think? Sometimes you think, oh, you know, immediately, I mean, you're just destroying, you know, your own person and your own value and demeaning your own self a lot of times for being a failure. But that's not what God thinks. Peter was sinking in the water, but God didn't hesitate to grab him and pull him right back up. He didn't hesitate to bail him out of situations. He doesn't hesitate to forgive us of our sins. He doesn't make deals with you. He just says, if you'll confess your sins, I am faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You see? So when I just lost my whole train of thought. That was a train wreck, so that was so. So we have to be anchored in the person of Jesus Christ and who he is, because it's got to reflect him. Think about the times when the James and John, they were traveling with Jesus and they were heading to Jerusalem, and you've heard this before, where they're going through Samaria and the Samaritans, a lot of cultural differences there, and the Samaritans didn't like the Jews and they were not so friendly to them. And James and John, you know, had just read about Elijah praying fire down from heaven in Sunday school. I mean, they just got that lesson and what God can do if you have faith and you believe and you say a simple little prayer and he can do that. And they're like, let's do it. Missed it. He said, you want us to pray fire down from heaven and consume them? He said, you don't know what spirit you have. Because see, there's Holy Spirit, and then there's a whole lot of other spirits that are out there that are trying to convince us. Sometimes it's yourself. Sometimes it's your neighbor. Sometimes it's the people that you rub shoulders with every day, but they're always trying to convince you of something that is not what God thinks. So how do you know what God thinks? Is because it's all filtered through the person of who Jesus is. Jesus tell him, you don't know what spirit you're of. James and John must have been pretty bold, because later on they're asking, hey, can I sit on your right hand? Can I sit on your left hand? He said, you don't understand. It's not mine to give. You're missing it. You're listening to man's spirit because you're about self-promotion, self-exaltation. Yep. That one hurts sometimes. So you don't know what spirit you're of. Hey, Jesus, I got another one. Hey, how about this? Hey, this man had a wife and he died, and his brother took that wife to be so they could have children together, and that guy died, and you know, this happened 7 times and they all died and she didn't have any children. Whose wife is she going to be in heaven? Oh, man. The things that we miss so many times because we haven't been with him enough to allow the Spirit of the Lord to teach us the way he thinks. The way he thinks. I remember years ago, and I probably told this before too, but we were out door-to-door witnessing. And probably for all the wrong reasons, all right? You know, definitely not knowing what we're doing, but we were door-to-door witnessing. We stopped and got a Coke at McDonald's, and back then there were some things that was weird. Today, those weird things are everywhere, but they stood out a little bit more back then than they do today. Today you walk by them, you know. Back then it's like, whoa. This guy came into McDonald's, he had piercings, he had a mohawk stand up about 8 inches tall, rainbow colored all through that thing. He was making all kinds of statements. And so I, in the spirit of man, made my statement. We don't want no freak like that. And Pastor Chris at that time, he said, that's exactly who we want. So the spirit of man got taught a lesson. So sometimes we think with the wrong spirit, wrong ideas, wrong conclusions, wrong actions, wrong responses. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. However, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages of our glory. Watch how this goes. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. What wisdom is that? For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So who was that wisdom? It was embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. He embodied the power, he embodied the character, the nature of God. He embodied the mindset and thoughts of God. And if they'd have understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. Now, I used to read that verse and think, man, God, you got some good stuff laid up for us, you know, because you read that verse by itself. But I used to read that and I think, man, God, you got some good things laid up for us. Have no clue what it is. Have no idea how we're even going to see it or understand it. But there is a part of that that says that God has prepared some amazing stuff for us. But the next verse says, for to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows? Now here's a simple analogy. Don't make this complicated. Simple. Okay? You know, what he's basically saying is, you know your own thoughts. You know your own motives and intentions because of the Spirit that lives because of your spirit inside of you. Even the same way the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit, knows the thoughts, the depths of God, and he reveals those to us. So there are things that he is in drawing us to anticipate and to expect or to discover that he's going to reveal to us through the Spirit. But it's going to line up with the cross, and it's going to line up with the character and the nature of Jesus Christ. It's not going to deviate from that. It's not going to get out in some field where suddenly we're a group and a cult, and we're off, and we're the only ones going to heaven, and we're the only ones that's going to make it, you know, because God is going to, you're going to be surprised when we get to heaven. Yeah. Somebody else is going to probably be surprised about you too. So for who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. It's not there to be kept from you. He is there to deliver them to you so that you will know the things that he is freely giving us today. today, right now, tomorrow morning, the next day, and the day after that, the Spirit of the Lord has got a list of things that he's wanting to tell you, hey, this belongs to you. And once you get them, he says, now we have received, he's not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so we may know things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak. So when you realize, when the Holy Spirit shows something to you that you have, the next thing you do is you speak it out. Why? Because then it becomes living out there in the atmosphere and everything else. It's beginning to create, I don't want to use the word aura, but it's beginning to create something in the atmosphere that you can't see, that suddenly that which is invisible is paying attention to, because you're beginning to declare the things the Holy Spirit's revealing to you that he has freely given you, and it's beginning to draw the angelic hordes. It's beginning to push off the demonic forces. It's beginning to break chains, loosen those strongholds off people's lives, and it just begins to have that effect because it's been freely given to you, and now you're declaring it out. Okay? Yeah. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit. Combining, I don't necessarily like this part, but it says spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. I know that sounds bad. I'm reading the Bible. Yeah, I do like the Bible. But the word thoughts and words, there are added words to help bring understanding. Combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words, the word spiritual and where it says spiritual thoughts and the word spiritual where it says spiritual words, they're the same word. So it's combining spiritual with spiritual. You know what happens when you begin to declare things in the Spirit? There's other people out there that are declaring things in the Spirit. And then all of a sudden the things begin to combine and grow and manifest, until all of a sudden we've got men meeting together, you know, that they didn't used to meet together. They're actually talking. They're actually having conversations. They're actually sharing a few struggles. Now, they're not getting in touch with their feminine side, lady. I'm telling you that right now. That's not going to happen. They're going to do it, but they're going to do it in a manly way. With testosterone. So combining spiritual with spiritual, but a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself appraises no one. He is appraised by no one, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. How many things could be fixed through declaring what God has already given us? How many things could be fixed by believing that what Christ did on the cross paid everything so that we could have the things that he's freely given us? How many things could be resolved so easily in that way? Now, that we may know, we have the mind of Christ, that we may know the thoughts of God. We already know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts I think towards you, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We know that. We know that, right? We know that. We say that. We speak that. We declare that. If God be for me, greater is he. He's in the world. That's right. No weapon formed against me. I can do all things. We declare these things. We speak these things out. Because we live in the power and the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ. We live in its in all that it's provided for us, all that it's given us, we live in that. So as we think about some of the things that is going to come forth out of the body of Christ, do it like you've never done it before. Right, Val? Jesus said that believers would do the works that he does. And then he says what? And greater works than these shall you do also. How's that going to happen? Unless we allow the thoughts and the imaginations of our life to connect with what the Spirit of the Lord is saying of what he is capable of doing or what he wants to do in any given situation. And some of it may not make a lick of sense at all. Not a bit. Chris Valaton told a story about he was in some meeting, probably won't get it exactly right, but there was this foreign couple that came in to the meeting, and the lady was obviously in pain, and so he begins to see what the Spirit of the Lord has shown him, and he's seeing a sword in this lady's back. You know, no physical sword that you see, but begin to see the sword in this lady's back. And so he goes over and gets a conversation going with him and asked about what was going on, how long she'd been that way, and different stuff. And he asked if he could pray for her. And he ends up taking his hands, grabbing that sword. That's not physically there. You understand what I'm saying? Why? Because he's seeing what the thoughts of the Lord are. And he grabs that sword and he pulls it out. And she's instantly healed. That's unprecedented. That's you show me a scripture and verse that says you go pull swords out of people. It's not there. It's unprecedented. You know, there's people in the Bible that had to take unprecedented steps of faith to give us a precedent that we could stand on. The woman with the issue of blood had no precedent that I know of. We like to describe why she thought, why this. All I know is she believed something that she wasn't allowed to do at that time, and it was unprecedented, and she took a step of faith on something that was unprecedented, and God healed her from that thing. And what I know next is that the next chapter in the Gazarenes, Jesus goes there, and now all these people understood that a precedent has been set, and now they're saying, Lord, can all these people just get close enough, Lord, so they can touch the hem of your garment? And everyone who touched the hem of his garment was healed. Jesus walked on water, unprecedented. But Peter said, you set the precedent. Can I come out on the water? I want to come out on the water. And so here I come. Unprecedented. The Syrophoenician woman, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Are you getting what I'm saying today? The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us in ways that's beyond just what we know. He's wanting to speak to us the minds and the thoughts of God, and it's going to take us in places that's unprecedented at times. You may think, I can't do that. Yes, you can. Why? Because he's going to show you something. You're going to speak it out. Have your little argument with God. Just recognize that you've already lost and go do it. You got to keep it real, right? I mean, you know, got to keep it real. You know, you fight, God, I'm not doing that, God. I'm not going there, God. Okay, here I go. You know, so have your little argument, God. Just know he wins. And just know this too. If he wins, you win. Right? Or somebody else that you're talking to wins. Somebody else that you're reaching out to wins. You may be the answer to somebody else's prayer. I've got people that are important to me that we're praying for. And many of you have been the answer to some of those prayers. Unprecedented. Precedented. What can God speak into our minds that he can do that we've never seen done before? That's a hard thing to figure out, because I can only work within the imagination of what I've probably seen or experienced. But Holy Spirit has seen it all already. He has seen every bit of it. And it's all provided for us, freely given to us through the cross, through the stripes of Jesus Christ, the price that he paid. He ransomed it all for us. Thank you, Lord God. Greater things than these shall you do also. The precedented, when I say be open to the unprecedented, does not diminish the value and the power of the precedent. So somewhere the believers figured out, and I don't know where the precedent come from, maybe they saw something, but they figured out that they could take handkerchiefs from Paul and take them to people who were demonized, demon oppressed, and the demons would leave them. Somewhere they figured out that if they just get those people over there close enough to where the shadow of Peter might fall on them, that those people would be healed. Let the Holy Spirit expand us beyond our norm. You know he wants to. You know he wants to do more than what you've ever thought or dreamed of. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of man what God has laid up in store for those who love him. But by his Spirit, he is willing to show us what he is freely giving us today. Wow. Is there a state of being where you just live in a blown mind? All I need to know is, can you function in it? I'm good being there. Just a highly functional blown mind. That's all I need. Put me right there and just let God just blow our mind and do what he wants to do as long as I can function somehow. Amen. Because I think that's what God wants to do. He wants to take, you know, we talk about taking us out of our comfort zone, but then when we do that, we put these little lines around it, okay? Because we're like, oh, well, I'm uncomfortable doing this, but, you know, I'm willing to step out of my comfort zone. No, all you did was, you know, you shifted your comfort zone a little bit. Because if we really let him get us out of our comfort zone, oh, Katie, bar the doors. I don't know what might happen. I mean, there's some scary stuff in Scripture that's already happened, you know. So, but here's the thing, too, with all that, and I'll say this and we'll close. He's not a life enhancement piece. He's not here to Americanize your idea of life. And I love America, don't get me wrong. I love my creature comforts, I do. But he is, wow. I mean, you think of the heroes of faith and what they stood and did and how they did it. And the stand, the confidence, the willingness, wow. I mean, just, Hebrews 10, is that the Hall of Faith chapter, I think? I was close. I was in the ballpark. Hey, if I ever say something wrong, let me clarify that. When I say something wrong and you feel the need to come and you know, correct me on that, just be nice, all right? I'm human like you are. But those people in Hebrews chapter 11, it wasn't a glorious life. they suffered. They went through a lot of stuff. I hope none of us necessarily have to, but there's some lessons and things that we're not going to get unless we go through hard, difficult times. We don't experience healing without needing to be healed. People don't experience deliverance when there's not people that need to be delivered. People don't experience salvation when they're not lost. Well, so, but to be some of those people that were willing to be unprecedented and take the stand, do the things that God called them to do, regardless of the cost. Greatest line in that Hebrews chapter 11 statement that's made about those people, it says, of whom the world was not worthy. Wow. Would you like God to say that about you? Yeah, me too. Stand with me if you will. I think God's going to ask us to do some things that may not necessarily be unprecedented, but may be unprecedented to you. Maybe something that he's going to say, tap you on the shoulder to do and ask you to take a step of faith, believe, take a risk. I think men getting together in the morning, can I say that we probably should be past that, but I think to some degree it's a risk. Anytime you gather together with believers and actually connect with them, it's a risk. And maybe it's unprecedented in our society that has isolated everybody and given you, this to have all your friends on, have all your meaningful conversations, get all your answers from. No, take a risk. Take a chance to do things that are unprecedented. Because God wants to blow our minds. He wants to blow our minds. We have not even begun to imagine. But Holy Spirit, I ask you right now. I ask you, Lord God, to begin to speak, or help us to hear what you're speaking. Help us to hear what you're saying, Lord God. Help us to be brave and courageous enough, Lord, that we would take chances upon what you're saying to us, whether it be to share our faith or testimony or story or go help somebody, or whether it be to seize opportunities that are put before us that we could share our faith. God, I ask you, Lord God, to begin to help us, Lord God, to pull back the walls and allow the expansion of the mind of Christ inside of us, Lord God. I thank you, Father God. Lord, I thank you that you've given us the mind of Christ, that you have made us partners. You've called us to be partners with you in your kingdom, to see the name of Jesus glorified, see the works of the devil destroyed, and see your people set free. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in our lives. We anticipate you doing more and more and more. We anticipate, Lord God, thinking like we've never thought before, seeing things that we didn't see before, having a revelation of Jesus in ways that's just life-giving and freeing and full. Lord, I thank you. Thank you, God. I thank you, Lord, for healings and deliverances. I thank you, Lord, that these signs follow those that believe. I thank you, Lord, that we believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried, raised again from the grave, seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord God. You're amazing. You're amazing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.